Hi, and welcome to the Reiki from the Farm podcast, brought to you by me, Pam Allen LeBlanc from Hidden Brook Farm. I am a scientist, a businesswoman, and a licensed Reiki master teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training. Each week in this podcast, you'll be entertained as you learn about a wide variety of relevant Reiki topics, helping you become a more knowledgeable and effective Reiki practitioner. We caution you, though, this podcast may also dramatically improve your life, and we are so happy that you're here. On this week's podcast, I am talking with Amanda McCordick, who has really gone through a lot: terminal cancer, the suicide of her spouse. And Amanda and I were fortunate to work together through all of it, pretty much. And I would say Reiki has seen her through. And so I'm really glad you could be here, Amanda. Thanks.
Thanks. I'm really happy to be here. We recorded our first session not long after I had gotten my terminal diagnosis. So it feels full circle to come back and tell the next chapter of my story here.
It really doesn't it? And that's what we didn't want to leave people hanging. I know that we wanted to let them know where you're at now. So it really does feel full circle. Before we begin, I just want to let you know about some of the classes we have coming up this summer. I have a full RMA, which means that if you haven't taken your Reiki class with a licensed Reiki master teacher, you can take 5 days in a row, level one and two and masters in July, and become a professional member of the Reiki Membership Association if you wish to. And professional membership has certain privileges. And then on top of that, if you're ever interested in becoming a licensed Reiki master teacher, you need to be a professional member of the Reiki Membership Association for at least a year. So it's one of the steps in becoming a licensed teacher, if that's of interest to you. And that class is offered right here in Campobello, which is where I am right now. And I'm just thinking I can just quickly flip the camera around and show you where we're at. We're right on the water here. Whales often join us in class. We can see them out the picture window. And on top of that, I am going to organize a whale watching tour for anybody who wishes to attend that class. Also this summer, I have several animal Reiki classes. I have animal Reiki 1 and 2 in the end of July, followed by an evening master animal Reiki master class, and they're both online and in person. But if you are in person, we can go whale watching around the times of the class. And I also have level one and two again on a weekend in August. And I have a level one and two in masters in September. And this is when the whales are all in their fullest glory. So if you would like to join us for any of those summer classes, please do. We would love to have you. And also, if you haven't already sent a review, if you've read the Reiki Business book and you haven't sent a review, if you could do that for us on Amazon, it would be much appreciated. So I'm just going to invite everyone listening to bring your hands into Gassho and just activate your Reiki energy. And today we're talking about our darkest moments. So invite each of your symbols to come with you now, and especially if you have it, the distance symbol. And I'd like you to think of some of the darker moments that you've experienced in your life. And as you listen to the podcast, we'll use the distance symbol, yours or mine or both, to send Reiki to your dark moments and just allow them, the trauma of them, to lift. And allowing yourself to become lighter, releasing yourself of the burdens. And so we invite Reiki energy to flow into your body now. And if you are carrying any burdens from any of the difficulties that you've experienced because of the ways and worries of the world, you invite those burdens to just release from you now, and as to continue releasing as you continue listening to this podcast. And if you have any energetic attachments as a result of those, we invite the Reiki energy to flow through them on every level of their existence, through all their cords and connectors and sources of power, through all their assignments and anyone who's given them assignments, and through all of their effects, and to bind and release them in a way that's healthy for you and for the attachment. So many of you listening may find yourself processing at this time, and processing even as you listen to Amanda and I. And as she brings things up, that might trigger a memory for you and encourage the processing to continue. And you may find that you're much lighter, that things look brighter, and that your hope is restored. We invite the energy of hope to flow through it all. For without hope, there is nothing. And we invite any trauma or injuries that we've sustained to release into the light of Reiki today. I'd like to thank you for the work that you're doing and for the light that you are in the world. And if you have any attachments that have released, we invite the areas where the attachments existed to connect now with the higher heavens and heal completely. Aho Mataquio Asin and Namaste. Thank you. Amin. Ashe. Shalom. And so it is. You can stay in this space now, or you might choose to place your hands comfortably on your body, giving yourself Reiki in return. Or you may wish to come back. Amanda, you've been through a lot, but it really feels to me, as your friend and Reiki Maki lady, and I know you've given me permission to say that, it really feels to me like you're on the other side of it now.
Yeah. So in April of 2020, I was April 2nd to be exact, I was diagnosed with terminal breast cancer that had migrated into my bones. And I had been told that it was going to explode through me. I was given no hope. And in fact, quite the opposite. When I was hopeful, I was told that I had false hope and that I really needed to pay attention to what was going on and what they were telling me. Yeah. So that started in April of 2020. And it was right as the world was closing. Right. So it was a very isolating time for everybody. But I had to tell my mom over the phone that I was expected to die and die quickly. My family, all my families, my siblings, everybody, it was over the phone. Yeah, so that happened then. And then almost a few days short of a year, I came home and found my husband. We've been together 17 years and married 15. He had committed suicide. And I found him with a gunshot wound to the head alive. Those are certainly two very deep valleys as far as the soul growth goes. So there were, even in those really dark moments, the amount of light and love that came through, I still have a hard time comprehending the kind of the light and the dark that were kind of at play. And really just this whole idea that life isn't happening to you, it's happening for you. And sometimes it can feel very harsh what is happening. From the beginning, I was committed to finding the silver linings everywhere I could. And there has been silver linings. Which is a little bit taboo to say when you're talking about, for instance, about the suicide, to say that there was silver linings to that. And I'm very aware of that. Cancer is easier to talk about than suicide, quite frankly.
Suicide is very difficult for a lot of people. And it's unfortunate because I think that for those people who've experienced the suicide of a loved one, it doesn't give them an avenue to...
No. And I was like, when I was diagnosed terminal, I knew very early on that it was something that I was going to share, that I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know the highs or lows or where that path was going. And I still don't, but that I knew I wanted to share. I knew it was therapeutic for me to share it. And so I did very early on start an open Facebook page called Amanda's Tango with Terminal Cancer.
And we can include a link to that, Amanda, in the podcast.
That would be great. Yeah. So that really was my avenue of kind of processing everything that was going on in my life. And then once, just with the timeline. So in the November of 2020, I had my first scans. My regular oncologist kind of pointed out that they were good. They were happy. But that following January, I met with my rad oncologist who took the time to show me the scans and say, we don't see cancer in you anymore. Not only has it not spread, but you've been able to heal what is there. And of course they cautioned me that it can come back at any time and they don't know if it's gone. They just can't see it. So that was, it's really been since November of 2020. And when they had warned me that if I had any major stressors in my life, that cancer could whip through me then because my immune system would be compromised. And when you're stressed, nothing works as well. But I survived Maddie's death, my husband Matt's death. I feel like my body has proven itself in that regard, that it can stay healthy even when I'm under immense amounts of pressure.
And your health, just to confirm, right now, there is still no evidence of disease. Is that not?
I'm fine. I remain on a holistic treatment that I make myself. It's a kind of a variation of Rick Simpson oil, which is like a pure THC based oil. And I remain in menopause because of the kind of cancer I had. I had breast cancer and it feeds on estrogen. So I keep my estrogen low. But besides that, I'm not taking anything. There was a period of time when I was really heavily invested in doing nothing but healing. But really, I'm back to normal now. I work full time. I run a bunch of businesses. I don't have any health issues to speak of. In fact, I'm probably healthier. Well, I know I'm healthier than I was before I had the cancer. So they no longer make predictions for me. Originally, they had said the average was 3 to 5, but that many people go much faster. They meant me. I didn't find out until later that they thought I would be gone within a matter of months because the type of cancer I had was just so aggressive and moving so quickly. So it's gone. And even the damage in my bones from the radiation, that's been healed. I had issues with my lungs from some radiation damage, that's been healed.
Incredible.
Yeah, no, I'm great.
And thinking, Amanda, when we originally did your podcast, you put together a list of what you did. And I'm thinking we should share that in this podcast again for people that are wondering, I've got this cancer diagnosis or even a terminal cancer diagnosis, what do I do? And you did a number of things like keto diet and Rick Simpson oil, but you really focused on Reiki. And I'd like to, we'll share that document of all the things you decided to do, but let's let people know, what did you do from a Reiki standpoint? Because I have to say, I was really impressed with
And the universe, of course, knew exactly what it was doing, as always. So I literally, it's a convoluted story, but went to a psychic who peered deep into my soul and said, if you listen to nothing else of what I've told you, you need to go find a Pam Allen LeBlanc and do Reiki with her. And I had passing knowledge of Reiki, but had never done any, didn't really understand it. And literally, I had my first session with you within 12 hours of finding my first tumor. And that was in December of 2019. It took me a long time to understand what Reiki was. And I think that was okay. In the beginning, my life leading up to the cancer diagnosis was really quite difficult. And in some ways more difficult than the 2 years that came afterwards. My husband has struggled with addiction, pretty serious addiction and mental health issues for a long time. I had finally made an attempt to leave him with my children. That had not gone well. I had to commit him against his will to the psych ward. We certainly battled through the mental health system, not successfully, sometimes together, sometimes apart. He had gone missing for a period of time. He had attempted to burn down my office during one of his mental health breaks. It was just, my stress level was really, I was in fight or flight mode continuously. I remember sitting in my rental house with my back against the bedroom door. My daughter slept so I could watch if any cars came in, because I was so scared that he would find us. My husband, Matt, was just the kindest, most sweetest man, crazy intelligent, but we found out subsequently that he had schizophrenia. And when he was in one of those episodes, it was not Matt. And there was nothing, there was no reasoning with him. There was, all you could do was wait out the storm. And so there was a lot of nights where I waited out a lot of storms, and in leading up to my cancer diagnosis, it was pretty intense. So I remember my first Reiki session feeling, it was like, I didn't realize how heavy my life was and how hard it was until I had that 1 hour break. And at first, that's all it was. It was that Reiki, my hour with you quickly became my favorite hour of the week, because that's when I got a little bit of work. Yes. Yeah, I did. I had the first session and then I realized it was something that I was going to need weekly. And also because I just found my tumor, I knew that I had known enough about cancer and stress to know that the two were related. And then if I had any hope of healing, then I needed to get my stress level under control. And I knew enough to know there was too many balls in my life between the various businesses, between my kids, between my husband, that I was going to need some real coping mechanisms to get through that. And really, I had the sense almost from the beginning that cancer was part of my plan. And I say that is, I always thought it was like an emergency exit. When I was developing my life plan, it's like, if you get too far off, we'll throw in some cancer and that will refocus you on what's important. And if that doesn't work, we'll make it terminal. And I think that's what happened. I needed that. I always joke that cancer wasn't enough. Cancer at 36 wasn't enough. It had to be terminal for me really to pay attention. So Reiki, in the beginning, it seems so long ago now, but it was that 1 hour a week. And we talk about how first it was an hour and then I could take that piece with me longer and longer. And by May of that year, I did my level one and two. 6 months later, I did my master's. For me, master's is where I really noticed the difference in what I was able to do on myself. I continued to do my weekly sessions with you, I think for almost 2 years. We met almost every week, unless you were teaching or I was in trial. Yeah. And I knew that if I was going to heal from this, I couldn't just heal physically. I needed to heal stuff from my childhood. I needed to heal stuff from the very difficult marriage I was in. And it was hard because I'm a divorce lawyer. And I used to always think if anybody was in a position to leave this abusive situation, it was me. And I had all this guilt and shame because I was regularly counseling women to get out of the situations that I was living in. It was difficult. Matt, I recognized that Matt wasn't a bad person. He was really sick. And I have a loyalty to me to leave somebody that was sick. It was just incredibly difficult because he had such a good core. Like he was a good person and he loved a lot of people and he made the world a better place. And he did all of that while carrying an enormous amount of darkness that he tried to shield everybody from. And as the schizophrenia progressed, it became harder and harder for him to shield us from the consequences of that darkness. So yeah, Reiki was a light, and then very quickly I realized that it was supposed to be part of what I'm doing here. And I didn't know how, and I still don't know how all that was going to unfold, but I knew that I almost became addicted to the piece of it.
Yeah.
And so I really believe that Reiki is what has allowed me to float through these storms. And that's exactly how Reiki is my boat, taking me through the storm. And there's highs and there's lows, but Reiki has kept me safe. Reiki has kept me safe in that boat. And I think the more you get used to it, like going with the flow, right? I accept that. I also accept that the universe, Reiki, the energy, whatever you want to call it, that it is taking me somewhere through this ocean. I'm not just in the storm bobbing around for nothing. There is a destination. And I should say, after going through about 2 years of pretty rough waters, I'm in this beautiful spot in my life right now where the water is nice and even, and I can just enjoy the ride a little bit. But Reiki really was a place for me to heal. It created a safe space for me to heal, for me to reflect on what needed healed. Because when I started this, I didn't even know what needed healed. I knew there was some piece of me that when I got that terminal diagnosis was like, okay, I'm okay. I don't want to live this life anyway. I didn't want the life I had. And even I have no signs of it now. I know that it could come back. I don't live in fear of it. I don't really think about it, to be honest, but I know that it could come back. I know that I'm much more likely to, my doctor doesn't remind me frequently, but the expectation is, their expectation is that I will die of cancer. That's not my expectation, but I accept that may happen. And I don't dwell on it. I'm not afraid of it, because the reality is, if I live 3 years in this life, I would much rather that than 30 in my old, or even 50 in my old. The transformation of how I feel inside is so dramatically different. It's worth it. On the outside, looking in my old life, we had everything. We had new cars, big house. We both ran successful businesses. We went on nice vacations. I have lots of nice jewelry. But inside, I felt so disconnected from the universe. I was exhausted. I had very little joy. And really, it didn't even occur to me that joy should be a priority. I was so busy just holding everything together around me that self-care seemed like a luxury that I couldn't afford time-wise. Yeah. It was nothing for me to spend lots of money on Amazon shopping for me to fill that hole. But as far as taking the time to actually do self-care, it didn't even flash on my brain that it's something I should consider. And I was disconnected. I was disconnected from my purpose. I was disconnected from any kind of spirituality. I was really very much just in survival mode. And some people had a sense of that who were close to me, but nobody knew how bad it was. Only me and Matt really knew just how chaotic and difficult life was.
And I remember at one point in that, Amanda, a really big, what I felt was a turning point. But I remember the profundity, how profound our sessions were each week. And a lot of times we would just listen to the energy. And I remember at one point you made peace with death. And I really, as your practitioner, I thought, wow, I'm not sure that I'm there, you know, where she is. I just found that amazing. And you had a young child and an older child that you needed to care for. You knew that your husband didn't have the ability to care for the children should you pass, and you still made peace with death. And I really, from my perspective as your practitioner, I remember you explaining that to me and where you were, and that was the moment I knew you were going to be all right.
Yeah, it's cancer journey that I went on has provided so much. I'm so thankful for it.
And telling me that, I'm so thankful.
It's worth it. I had a mastectomy. I always say that it was literally worth my left breast. A bad joke, but it was. And it's every hard day has been worth it for the spiritual and emotional growth that I've been able to enjoy. I did make peace with my death. I remember one of the exercises that I did was I sat and I imagined what life would be like without me. Who would care for my children, who would love my children, how my children, and it was really my children. Also my mom, who would look after my mom, what could I do for her? And that was a very difficult task for me because in my old life, I was someone who tried to control everything out of a place of love, but I buffered everybody from all natural consequences of their actions. I thought my shoulders were broader and stronger than anyone else's I knew. So I thought, I'm more capable. I'll heap this on me. And so the process of really sitting back and imagining what all these people's lives would be like without me, it was humbling and it was therapeutic. Difficult, but therapeutic. So that, but being released that fear, it's such a gift in all areas of my life. I have no desire to die. I love my life now. I'm excited to see what I'm going to do. I'm excited.
Let's fast forward a little bit. Why don't you tell people, because this is where we wanted to go with this. Why don't you tell people a little bit about your life now, Amanda? I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
yeah,
because you love your life now. Let's tell people what it looks like and feels like.
My life is so good now. I was recently married. To my massive shock, on Valentine's Day, me and Bradley Ray, love of my life, we're married in Mexico. As 50 of our family and friends, just over 50 of our family and friends watched, me and Brad have the best love story in the whole world. Yeah. In October of the year my husband died, he came down to visit his father. His father has been a very important person in my life for almost 12 years. He was one of my husband's best friends. In fact, my kids call his dad Uncle Lauren, and his dad's been marking Amelia's height in his garage since she was about 12 months old. So his dad has just been a huge support to me as I tried to get Matt help, and he tried very hard to get Matt help as well. And in fact, many years ago when I was trying to get my husband into rehab, I had called and talked to Brad to give me advice. And I had known of him, but didn't know him well. I ended up going over for a barbecue while I visited his dad. And it's literally something out of a cheesy Hallmark movie. He was sitting by the fire. He says I stomped up to him, which sounds about right. I sat down next to him. I say, why couldn't you say glide? I glided over. He's like, you didn't glide, you stomped. I'm a stomper. So I stomped over and sat down, and he's a little bit older than me. He's pushing 50 and he had never been married. I'm 40 in April. We're both later in life. I had literally spent the night before with his dad joking about how I was never going to be in a serious relationship again, that I had no interest in being married, that I was never going to live with anybody again. And I didn't think that my kids would need to meet anybody, that it was just going to be me and my kids and the businesses. And that was enough. Literally 24 hours later, I stomped up to him, and it's like nothing I'd ever experienced before. And he says that about 15 minutes in, he thought, oh my God, I'm going to marry her, which was just hilarious because his friends were trying to get him to date. He had no interest in dating. I had no interest in anything serious. And so we spent the next 4 hours in deep conversation while everybody else at the barbecue looked on in a mixture of shock and horror. But what is happening? He lived in Alberta. He had just purchased a big, beautiful house. He was about to accept a big promotion in his trade. His whole life was in Alberta and mine was in New Brunswick. And it was like the meeting of two souls. I can't describe it any other way. And it was so evident what was happening. My daughter, who would have been 9 at the time, on the drive home, she said, Mom, you really liked Brad. And I said, oh, yes, he seems nice, smart guy, funny. And she's like, and he really likes you. And I was like, yep. And she's like, if you married him, Uncle Lauren would be my pop then. And I just kind of said, oh, Amelia, I don't know if we're there yet. I went too fast. But honest to goodness, we had this whole plan about it. We were gonna be reasonable, and it was going to take 6 months for him to move here. And the universe was not accepting that. Anyway, 4 weeks later, he moved here. We had plans that he would buy a house. We would live separately. The housing market here completely destroyed that plan. And so he ended up living with me very quickly. So we lived together for about a year and then got married in February. And for all those people living in difficult, abusive relationships, I can tell you it doesn't have to be that way. And he's so lovely to fight with. Whatever, we're both very strong personalities. So it's not that one of us, we go toe to toe, but it's respectful and there's no shots taken at one another. We're just trying to find a solution. We're trying to understand each other. And I always get a little giddy in the back of my brain. Oh my gosh, this is so lovely. So yeah, we were married. Life is incredibly happy. My children love him. He loves my children. Matt's family is very supportive. I remain close with them. My family love, everybody loves Brad.
I love Brad.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
I love There's Brad. Nothing, he's awesome.
He is, we are, I really could not comprehend how peaceful and content I could be with somebody. Just being in his presence is pleasurable. And he allows me to be me unapologetically. He loves who I am. He supports me in a way that I didn't know was possible, all the while still being stubborn and stubborn himself.
His own person, really.
His own person. Yeah, that's right. He's not a yes man. He's not.
And I don't think you would respect him if he wasn't.
No, it wouldn't last. It wouldn't. No. So no, it's incredibly wonderful. We've also started an elevator business together. He's a mechanic. So we're doing that. Watching him become an entrepreneur is exciting. It's like our little baby. I'm back to the practice of law, and I've made some, when I decided to come back to the practice, I thought, how can I do this and not get cancer again? Because it's so taxing. And so as I was pondering that, the universe literally delivered me my best friend, Charlene, who arrived at my door saying, I can't do my job anymore. I just became a Reiki master. I don't know how, but I need to be doing Reiki full time. That doesn't make sense to me. And I thought, that's how, right? So I hired her in the fall of 2021. So she works as a Reiki master at my law firm. So any new client that comes in gets a free session. We also use it to help clients get ready for trial, to get ready for negotiations, settlement. We've discovered that clients who are in a better frame of mind, basically clients that aren't making decisions out of fear make better decisions. And so we use Reiki to release that fear so that they're making clear headed, long-term solutions or choices that are in their best for their highest good. So not all Reiki, not all of my clients take us up on that. And that's okay. I had Reiki presented to me many times before I actually took it, but we like to think we're planting seeds for later. Our clients that do take it, they report good things. They're making better decisions and they're finding peace within themselves that isn't tied to what the other side does.
That is
huge. And that's a lesson that I learned when I was dealing with Matt as I was going through my cancer journey. Is I could, no matter what was going on with Matt and his chaos and insanity, more and more, I was able to hold the peace inside. I was able to hold my happiness and I wasn't living the way I was before. And that's really what we're trying to help our clients find as well, the peace with inside of them so that their ex, their kids, their whatever their external circumstances is, that is less impactful in a negative way on them. Reiki insulates you a little bit from all that stuff. And so that's what we're trying to share there. Also in the summer of 2022, more and more, I started getting the sense that the universe had a large project in plan for me. It had not been lost on me as I moved through my journey, all the amazing Reiki ladies and men, but mostly it was ladies, if I'm honest, ladies that I encountered. They're so talented. They're such a bright light, but I often found that their light wasn't reaching everywhere it could because of some of the logistics of it all. Most of them couldn't just quit their job and do this full time. They were doing it evenings, weekends. A lot of them weren't even doing it at all because the hurdles to set up a little side business, ask people for money, all that for a lot of them was presenting barriers that was preventing them from sharing their life. I'm in a bit of a unique situation in that I'm quite comfortable running businesses. We have a handful of them that we've run for years. I'm comfortable starting new businesses. And I've got some infrastructure here through the law firm and through the other businesses that I wanted to make available to the wider Reiki community to help these new practitioners, these new Reiki masters share their light with the world that desperately needs it. And the idea of it kept coming to mind very strongly, especially when I meditated. At the time, I would take about 2 hours on us every Sunday to do my cards. The message was always the same. No, don't forget the special project the universe has given you.
I remember that.
It was just like, here's what to expect for the next 2 weeks or the week. But by the way,
don't forget.
So what came from that is called Dragonfly Reiki Marketplace. And it is an online virtual market where individual Reiki practitioners, as well as other modalities, can come and showcase their services. And really, I really do think of it as an online market. I have this image from when I was in a market in Guatemala and everybody had their little booths and they were decorated to their personality and they're telling you about what they have to offer. And that's really what Dragonfly is. So it's going to be a platform where Reiki practitioners, whether they're well-established or new, can do up their landing page, their little booth, if you will. And people can really see what they're offering for services, what their specialty is. You really get a feel for them. Because one of the things that I really realized at one point, as much as I loved my sessions with you each week, which I did, mm-hmm. I would have done more Reiki if it was more easily available. So there was lots of times where I would have done Reiki maybe once or twice a week or two or three times a week, depending on some of the hard days,
and it
especially around Matt's death. Yeah. And that's just the reality. And so I remember thinking that one, I had gotten incredibly lucky going to that psychic who pointed me to you. I remember thinking that it was almost a miracle that I had found Reiki. And I wanted to make it so that people who were looking didn't need a miracle, that it was easily available to anyone who sought it or anyone who had questions. And I also wanted to give a space for these Reiki ladies and men who are such lights in the world to amplify and shine their light. And so that's what Dragonfly is. It's an online platform where Reiki practitioners can showcase their skills, can market their skills, and where people who are seeking Reiki, whether they're practitioners themselves or new to Reiki, can go on and quickly get a session with one Reiki lady, can try a variety of Reiki practitioners. Different practitioners bring different skills and experiences to the table. And we all do it a little bit differently. And so being able to have a platform where you can try different practitioners, not just in your own market, but from across the world. I think that's such a game changer for Reiki and spreading the light and the love and the healing of Reiki. And really, it is my gift to the universe for the healing that I've experienced, for the life I now have. I want others to heal, heal from what they talk about, what they don't talk about, what people can see and what people can't see. And I know, based on the very difficult path that I've walked, that it works. I often think, if I can be happy and joyful, having come through the 3 years of what I endured from 2019 to 2018, really, till Matt's death in 2021, incredibly difficult. But here I am, and I'm happy and I'm joyful. And I feel like a lot of the times the dark patches in my path, they weren't just for my own soul growth, even though I had enormous soul growth through them. They're also, I think, so other people can grab on and think, if she can do it, I can do it. And really, that is true. If I can do it, that healing is there for anyone. I was a complicated, stubborn case, and it still worked on me. I had enormous difficulty letting go of control of things. And that's just not a struggle anymore. Now I totally go with the flow in a way that Amanda from 3 years ago's head would have exploded. She wouldn't have been able to understand how I treat life now.
It's been beautiful to witness your evolvement.
It's been hard. Don't get me wrong, but it has been beautiful. And I'm a cancer journey. Without it, I don't think I would have understood Matt's journey. I realized in August of 2020 that I was essentially guilting Matt into living. And that came about because we got talking about, as part of my end of life planning, I had said, I'm not going to do harsh chemo. I don't want to drag this out. If I'm going to die, I'm not dragging it out for 3 years. The kids are not going to watch me become a shell of a person. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die quickly, and I'm not doing harsh chemo. And I remember he cried, and he said, I would never, ever want you to suffer. As much as I love you and I hate the thoughts of being away from you, I would never expect you to suffer, and I could never stand watching you suffer. And I remember it all crystallized in that moment. That's exactly what I was doing for him, that I knew that he didn't want to live. He was pretty open about it. And I knew that his quality of life was dramatically decreasing. We didn't know why, but we knew that things were getting worse. And I realized that I was guilting him into living, and I was doing it because I was scared of losing him. I was scared of everything. I was scared of what people would say. I was scared that people would think it was because I didn't love him enough or that we hadn't tried hard enough. I was scared that people would be critical of him. I'm still very protective of him. And I worried about that. I worried about the effects on our children. I worried about our businesses. He was a very successful business owner in air balancing. I don't know anything about air balancing. I thought of the people that relied on us for their mortgages. And of course, this is all during COVID. So the economy had stopped for the businesses as well. So the businesses were all in pretty rough shape. So all this was going on, and it crystallized for me that I was guilting him into living. And it took me another 6 months working with that idea to finally say to him, you need to make a decision that's based on what's best for you, that I'll love you no matter what. I want you to be here. I want you to get treatment. I want you to get well. I want you to heal. I want you to heal from whatever is going on in you, because we didn't know, the same way I have healed from cancer, right? I just want us to tackle this head on, do everything we can to heal and move forward together. And he made it very clear that was not what was going to happen. And I had to accept.
Your intention was.
It wasn't his intention. I remember him saying to me, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I can't keep the darkness back anymore. I often, in the mornings after the big storms, the big blowups, I would say to him, oh, Matt, I'm scared one of these days you're going to kill me. And I remember a few times when the doctor had said, you're going to die of cancer. I'd think, no, Matt's going to kill me before that. So I really feared at times for my life. Not for my kids' lives, but for my life. And I remember him saying, I would never kill you. I'll kill myself before. If I think I'm getting to that point, I will pull the plug before then. And I think that's exactly what happened. More and more, he was having a hard time differentiating between what was actually me and what was a voice in his head that sounded like me telling him to do bad things. Just like his best friend, he often heard his best friend's voice in his head telling him to do things that he knew wasn't right. And so that struggle and that battle, and he was just exhausted from it. After I had been diagnosed with cancer, he had really cut out the hard drugs. He still drank, but it wasn't the same. He wasn't. And for years, we blamed the blow-ups on the alcohol and the drugs. But when we removed the alcohol and the drugs, the blow-ups remained. And that was terrifying on a new level, because then it was very clear that it wasn't just something he had to stop doing to make this problem go away, that there was something more. We pushed really hard through the mental health system. I don't know. I had a direct comparison to what the oncology system was like. And I can tell you that Matt did not receive the level of treatment for his mental health that I did for my cancer. I'm just not even close.
What advice do you have for other people that are in similar situations? And then how do you see your future?
Yeah. So for the cancer, really, you have to prioritize healing in every way. And you have to be honest with yourself about what you need healed from. So I was really good at putting on a brave face and saying that everything was fine when nothing was fine. And I had to get honest with myself about where the state of my life was, what I had continued to accept, how disconnected I was, how hurt I was, how you have to face those things head on. And really, and if you don't know, that's okay. Ask Reiki to help. There was lots of weeks where I would just say, you'd say, what do we want to work on? And I'd say, whatever the universe feels needs healed the most. You don't need to have all the answers. You just have to have the intention to be healed and the belief. It is incredibly important that you believe you can be healed. Our bodies, our cells are always listening. So they listen to what we say in our head. They listen to what we believe. So if you believe that you cannot heal, then you will not heal. If you believe that you can heal, then that's where your body starts working from. And so that's, as far as the cancer side of it, that's, and again, lean into the Reiki, trust that it's for a purpose, that life is happening for you. And then I also, in the beginning days, I moved away from it as I healed, but in the beginning days, I really thought of it as a war. On the one side, there was the cancer cells. On the other side, there was me. And I could feed whichever side I wanted. So if I wanted to get negative, if I wanted to eat a lot of sugar, if I wanted to get really down, that was feeding the cancer. If I wanted to feed the healthy side, then I exercised, I did Reiki, I fasted, I kept my sugar very low, all those things. And it really, on any given, everything I did, it was like, what am I fueling, my illness or my healing? And I really, that focus on fueling my healing in every way, especially emotionally. So that's on the cancer side. And the suicide side, I have a harder time talking about it because, again, I don't want anyone to ever come away with the feeling that I am minimalizing or encouraging suicide. I'm not. However, I have come to accept Matt's decision, and I accept it from a place of love. And I am so thankful that I was able to have open dialogue with him about his intentions before he did it, because that allowed him to freely talk openly. And that we had a lot of really hard emotional discussions in the days leading up to him committing suicide. But they are such gems because they have given me, he was very implicit. I had told him that I would never marry again. And I remember he burst into tears and really wasn't a crier. And he said, why would you think I'd want that? I want you to be happy. Just don't find someone like me. Find a version of yourself. Find somebody who looks after you the way you've looked after me and marry him. And that's exactly what Brad is. Brad looks after me the way I looked after Matt. Matt gave me just very explicit permission to go and be happy. He said, you have done your time. You have been a good wife to me. You have stood by me. I would not have lived this long without you. Now is your time. Please go be happy. There's things I had always wanted to ask him, but I didn't. I asked them those days. And I remember saying to him, can I explain to you what I believe? Because he'd always allowed me the space of Reiki, but he had always made clear that was my thing, not his. And so on that day, he was like, okay. And so I told him what I thought about the afterlife. I told him what I thought about Reiki, all of it. And I know it provided me comfort. And I think it provided him comfort in those last difficult days. Matt's death, if nothing else, has convinced me that I'm right about the afterlife. Because one of the things I had said to him was you need to leave me so many signs that you're okay. And it's just ridiculous. He leaves dimes everywhere.
I found a dime yesterday and I thought about him.
Oh yeah. Some of the best dime stories I have, just very quickly. One of his best friends was in a head-on car collision. Miraculously, he walked out without even a sore neck. You see the car and you think how, when he went to get his stuff out of the car, he found a dime directly under the steering wheel. The first time me and Brad went away for a weekend, I found two dimes side by side about 10 minutes after I said, I hope Matt would be okay with this. It's the only time I've ever found two dimes side by side. My daughter found one maybe 3 days after he died. She found one in the flower bed. We find them all through our house. I use debit and a credit card. I never have cash on me. Never mind dimes. So we have a dad jar that's full of dimes. We found them in walls here. I work with a lot of cancer patients. They often find them after talking to me. My mom's found, they're just, they're everywhere.
After our work with Matt, both before and after he passed, we did our best with Reiki and.
Yeah. And accepting that. And I think the big thing for me learning and what Matt taught me was you can have a preferred outcome. It doesn't mean it's going to come, and it doesn't mean that the universe has let you down. It's just, you can't see how it all comes. I know that Matt's at peace. From very early on in me and Matt's relationship, I could always sense when he wasn't doing well, whether he was here or in Vegas or in the North fishing, wherever he was, I could always sense what his mental health was. I always knew. I know he's at peace. I've gone to some mediums as well. Even packing up my wedding dress, when I lifted up my wedding dress to go, there was a dime underneath it.
Oh, you're kidding.
So, there was a dime underneath my wedding dress. I know he's at peace. I know that he's so happy that the kids have Brad. And I never would have picked the outcome, never would have picked the ending for him that happened. But that's the ending that we got. And so much good has come from it. And I know he's okay. In a way that he was never okay on this side. So yeah, I definitely had, during my own processing of death, really come to the belief that we do have multiple lives and we do come back. And I've done some past life regressions with you, Pam, that have been very powerful. Some of my favorite meditations, to be honest. But Matt and the dimes has really come full circle. And when you think about, one of the things that Matt said through a medium to me is, I can help our family so much more from this side than I ever could when I was with you. And I'm an empath. And when I hear truth, I recognize it as truth. And I heard that from the medium and I thought, yeah, that's right. And my daughter, he comes to her in her dreams. Wow. My son, it's when he's in the woods. That's where they feel the most connected. So I know he's still with us. And I just think of us as like this big team working for the advancement of the universe and our children, and to bring healing into our various family lines. Cause you know, there's generations of trauma there. And one of my favorite sayings, and I sometimes when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I chant it to myself, is release the trauma, keep the wisdom, heal the trauma, keep the wisdom. I have gained so much wisdom in this 3-year journey. And that's what I'm working on now, is healing the trauma that I got while gaining that wisdom. And it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it.
I love that, Amanda. I think that is a beautiful place to move into our meditation from. And in fact, that inspires me. I think our meditation today is going to be about healing the trauma and keeping the wisdom. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me back on and for being there every step of my journey. We're so excited that you're going to help us some with Dragonfly, and your wonderful, talented daughter has been helping us with Dragonfly. And it really is a labor of love and excitement. I have no idea where it's going to go, but I'm excited for the healing that I know that it is going to spark in the lives of others.
For those of you who are interested in Dragonfly, we did do a podcast about it and inviting people to join and even become the founding 50 of the group. And those who do are going to get a copy. Amanda's gifting you a copy of, Amanda and they're gifting you a copy of my Reiki business book and just other benefits. I'm not sure if the founding 50 will be full at the time that you listen, but you can certainly check it out. I'll put a link to that podcast in this one and you can go back and have a listen. And I'll also put a link to our podcast that we recorded in the freezing rain, so you can hear pellets against against my window that I was recording in ages ago. It seems like now, Amanda, but some time ago when we initially talked about your success with terminal cancer. So,
and I just want to
go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say too that the great thing about Dragonfly is if you have someone in your life who is a little bit curious about Reiki but not sure, it has lots of tools to help people who are new to Reiki understand what it is. And allow them, a lot of the practitioners have meditations right on their page that people can do for free. So even if people, it's just a great resource to help spread Reiki, whether for your own life or for those struggling. I dream of the day when a friend's going through a divorce or something where I can say, here, I've booked 3 sessions for you on the marketplace, pick the practitioner that feels right to you. That's where we want to go with it. So we're really excited.
Yeah, I'm excited about the app and the marketplace that you've created as well. I think it's fantastic. I think I was your first person to sign up outside.
Yes, practitioner one.
Oh, I love it. Guys, for everyone listening, I'm just going to invite you to once again bring your hands into Gassho. Just focusing on the Reiki energy and breathe. Breathing in the light of Reiki and just simply being willing to release the trauma, even as you keep the wisdom. Then go ahead and place your hands comfortably on your body, wherever you feel guided. Continue breathing in the breath of Reiki as Reiki fills the air around you. And just recognizing that there are angels and archangels and brothers and sisters of the light standing on every side of you, at the corners of the land and on every side. And that we always have the support of these beautiful enlightened beings. They have our back. The universe has our back. And so much depends on what we focus on. I invite you to imagine that it's a beautiful, warm, sunny day and that you're walking through a trail in a beautiful forest. Maybe you're on the island of Campobello with me, where the forests lead to the ocean. As you walk along, you realize that indeed this forest path is leading to the ocean. You walk along and you breathe in the life essence of the forest as the energy of the earth flows up through the bottoms of your feet. As you make a decision today to shift your focus, one of the things that showed up in one of Amanda's pivotal sessions was that we could choose to exist outside of duality. Duality includes both the energies of love and fear, and everything positive comes from the energy of love, and everything negative, including hate, comes from the energy of fear. And that we get to choose our focus. Do we choose to focus on fear or love? And this is a choice that we get to make every single moment of the day. And in every experience that we have. And sometimes we may choose love, but we may forget. We might move back into the energy of fear. Just make a decision now to make love your overarching theme. Ask those beautiful enlightened beings that surround us, ask them to remind you when you forget, when habit or circumstance brings you back into the focus on fear. And so we firmly entrench ourselves in our choice of focusing on love in every situation, even the difficult ones. Even the darkest moments. And so you look at the ocean that's in front of you and you realize that this beautiful ocean is an ocean of Reiki energy. In fact, it's the ocean of holy peace. And so you step into the ocean, and if you work with guides or have support from the other side, perhaps they're there with you, and perhaps they step into the ocean with you. And together you lie down in the ocean of holy peace. And as you do, the divine animal kingdom, which includes the angels and the brothers and sisters of the light, surrounds you as a beautiful light pierces the clouds above you, shines directly upon you, and the ocean begins to glow. The light from above is the light from the heart of God. The light from below is the light of the divine earth. And the light from the enlightened beings fills the air that you breathe and flows into your body on your breath. And so you are surrounded in light and in love and in peace. Allow these lights of Reiki, these frequencies that exist within the frequency of Reiki, these wavelengths, allow light and love and peace and Reiki to flow through you now, releasing the burdens, releasing the injuries, and releasing the trauma. Allowing the trauma to heal, even as you keep the wisdom that you gained. And we'll remain here for some time today. And even as the injuries and trauma continue to lift from you, the energy of hope, of love, and of peace fill you, surround you, inundating every cell of your body and every part of your being. And we'll remain here as you become filled with the light. Now feel the wisdom in your body that remains no longer connected to the injuries or the trauma. Acknowledge that wisdom and acknowledge that you are grateful for all that you learned as a result of these darkest moments. Understanding that going forward, we can choose to learn differently. But while we were entrenched in the world of duality, the darkest moments bring the greatest opportunity to learn and grow and shift and change. Grateful to have become who you are, a gift of light unto the world. A light bringer, a bridge of light, creating wellness. Wherever you go and bringing light into every situation. I invite you to remain here as long as you're guided, and when you feel ready, you may return. Amanda, thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing your journey. I know that we're all sending Reiki to you remaining healthy, and I know that you've helped lots of people today. Thank you.
Yeah, pleasure as always. Thank you.
Namaste, everyone. Thank you so much for being here with us again this week.